You're listening
to Welcome to Comics, episode number 299. This week, we talk about Astonishing Thor. Visit WelcomeToComics.com. Hear past episodes. See what we're reading next. Or send us feedback. This show is supported by listeners like you. Access bonus episodes by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/WelcomeToComics. And now, the cast begins.
Alex and I started a new podcast called Lunch Hour Anime Special.
And like,
what we do every day anyway, we sit around and we watch an anime during our lunch break together every day because we work at the same place, which is really awesome. And like we found out that like every time we'd watch a show, we'd have this really good discussion afterwards about like what the anime was doing right, what it was doing wrong, what we liked about it. You know, episode to episode, we have the discussion. So now we've just kind of like started recording that, and we publish 3 to 5 times a week now, so it's like a daily show. Like, you watch one episode, and then you can listen to the show. Basically, all we're doing is taking those conversations and putting them up, but, like, I've come to realize that Alex has a really weird taste in anime, which is fine, but he showed me one called Girls und Panzer, which is...
Oh, yes!
Fucking, okay. have you seen it, Jen?
Yeah!
Did you watch it?
No, I did not watch it through.
Okay. I think it is fucking phenomenal. I love the shit out of that show. It is quirky and weird and charming, mm-hmm. And just fantastic. And we watched the show before we started recording the podcast, but for the podcast we just did Girls und Panzer der Film, which is the anime movie. And it's great because it's charming and has really great character interaction based on all 12 episodes of the show before it, and the opponent is interesting, and the tank battle at the end is fucking phenomenal. Some of the best like fight animation I've seen in an anime, because it's not overdone. You know, like I'm thinking of like Attack on Titan, where it's super overdone. The animation styles, like you see like the blade like bends when they like fight and stuff, and it's super overwrought, and doesn't have like the tropey, I'm gonna power up for 10 minutes kind of a thing going on. It comes off as like a really solid sports anime, but in the weirdest way possible. So David, I'm sorry, I never even explained it. The idea is that in this alternate reality of Japan, the ultimate sport for high school girls is tank battles.
Okay.
And it like, they call it senshudo, which is like the manipulation of tanks, I think is the direct translation. And just the idea is that, you know, if you're going to be a proper lady and learn the true values of etiquette and femininity, you have to, you know, learn to pilot a tank. And it's ridiculous, and I love the shit out of it. And I highly recommend it to you if you haven't watched it.
All right.
Try an episode and see if you don't love it, because I love it.
Okay. So, I'm going to listen to your podcast. But when I do, I have a listener request.
Oh, yeah, you do? Let's hear it.
Yeah, you guys got to watch Keijo.
Keijo? Okay. How do you spell that?
So,
K-A-J-O?
I think it's K-E-I-J-O. Let me double check that for you.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Basically. Oh, Keijo. And it has like, it's like 6 exclamation points.
Okay.
The premise is that like it's this sport where girls are on these platforms in a swimming pool, and they have to knock each other off the platforms using only breasts and butts.
Oh, I'm aware of this anime.
Okay, I really
If you need my Crunchyroll account to get this started, I will happily give you the login.
Okay, so it's only 12 episodes, that helps. The thing that gets us with this is that we're literally watching these episodes and recording them in, like, break rooms. And we just did Hyperdimension Neptunia, which is really cool. It's like a really cool show that like each character represents a different console in the console war. So there's like Vert, who represents Xbox, and Plutoni, which represents the Sega Dreamcast. And then there's a PlayStation one, there's a Nintendo one, and it's really interesting. But they transform, and their transformations are very risque. It's reminiscent of Kill la Kill, I'll say, in terms of the level of transformation outfit. So watching that in the company break room was a little risky, and then having discussion about it without, like, just talking about boobs for half an hour is also difficult.
I have never watched Keijo, so I could not tell you what it's actually rated, but I do want to watch it in the future. So
okay, well, I'll put it on the list. I'll put it on the list, okay. And then I'll let you know when we start publishing it.
Sounds good. I will watch along.
The next one we're going to start tomorrow is the Mobile Suit Gundam: The Origin. We're going to do the four episode OVA, and we're going to do it in 8 lunches. So the next 2 weeks we'll be doing Mobile Suit Gundam: The Origin, which is also really, really, really good. And then after that, maybe we'll do Keijo. I'm going to bookmark this and send it to Alex, because he is also way more shy about what we want. We'll find a scene in the break room, and I can talk about boobs without talking about boobs. Like, we can talk about melons and zeppelins and sweater meat. I don't care.
Okay, if you're not wanting to, like, risk sexual harassment suits at work, my backup listener request is Steins Gate, because I love talking about that show with people, and I want to listen to other people talk about that show with each other.
All right. Steins Gate. How long is Steins Gate?
I want to say it's not more than, 12 episodes?
Because that is also the beauty of anime. We're, like, doing this, and we're not, like, committing to doing the same show forever. I was like, maybe we could do an arc of One Piece. And I'm like, no, even an arc of One Piece is, like, 30 episodes.
Yeah, 30? It's,
more like 100.
Yeah.
Steins Gate is 24, and it's really, really, really slow to start. But I think it's rated in a lot of lists as the best anime of all time. So, it pays off.
All right. Well, I'm way more eager to do Keijo. So yeah, check that out if you guys are interested. We've only done a couple shows so far, but I mean, we're doing an episode a day, more or less. So I'm guessing we'll crank some out pretty quick here.
Awesome! I will definitely listen.
Anime special. It's on John's podcast network, Night of Living Geeks. So it's at notlg.com. In case any of our listeners want to go check it out if they're into anime. So you guys want to talk about our comic that we did for this show?
Sure.
Like a 10-minute plug on my other show.
This week's comic.
All right. This week we read Astonishing Thor by Robert Rohde. And this is the last episode of our Ego series. And I'm so glad we saved this for last, because it is fucking great. Like, in terms of an Ego comic, I think this is our best Ego comic yet.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a good comic, but it's our best Ego comic in terms of, like, Ego lore.
Ego lore.
Well, this is good, because, I mean, it talks about, and this is a 5-issue mini from 2012, and I don't know how much of this is canon. So what I understand of Marvel is everything is canon, unless it's, like, crazy. So this is, so far as I know, the actual origin story of Ego that we get. Apparently the Stranger, but I have no idea who the Stranger is. Apparently the Stranger created him. And Alter Ego. Alter Ego is also canon. So who is the Stranger, David? Do you have that background? Do you know?
So there's, like, these dudes in the Marvel Cosmic stuff. That are, you know, like, in Guardians of the Galaxy, there's the Collector.
Yeah. Who's in this?
The Collector's in this. So there's, like, a bunch of them. There's, like, the Gardener and the Collector and the Stranger, and there's just these, like, cosmic guys that kind of just show up every once in a while and give everybody a hard time. I'm not really sure what the Collector's or the Stranger's deal is, so I can't give you any more information than that, to be honest.
He just shows up and mysteriously puts his hand on your shoulder.
Yep, that's what he do.
It seems like the extent of what he's done here.
Well, he gave birth to Ego, I guess.
And Alter Ego. Which, like, this, like, not just that, like, show up and fuck stuff up, but, like, I don't know, it's kind of tropey, but it bugs me, like, the idea that he's so omnipotent and so powerful, he's removed from any sense of morals. Like, who the fuck creates a twin brother and then just, like, signs it up for a life of prison as, like, an experiment?
That Stranger.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Like, I get tired of that as, like, well, I'm so omnipotent and so powerful, I don't have morals. My goals and things are beyond you. I'm like, you could run this experiment with a couple rats, man. You don't have to create a living planet and fuck
well,
like that.
You gotta understand, like, the Marvel Cosmic guys are kind of, well, obviously they're dicks, but they're oftentimes, like, they're, like, concepts. They're not really, like, people.
Yeah, it's true.
So, your puny mortal mind can't comprehend them, Andy, is what I'm trying to get at.
And I mean, I guess you need different levels of villainy, too. Like, not everything can be Thanos.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone's got a mustache to twirl. Although, Ego does.
That's true. Alter Ego doesn't, but the Ego definitely does. And I, you know what, though? Reading this, I found myself, like, coming close to sympathizing with Ego again. Like I had done at the end of the first one, the Jack Kirby one that we did. This has been a roller coaster for me with Ego. Like, I started, like, feel kind of for Ego, like, he's just chilling, and fucking Galactus shows up to eat him out of all the planets, and then he takes on the Wanderers, you know, because he's a nice dude, apparently. But then I find out, oh, he ate them, the Wanderers. He, like, tricked them and then ate them, which was fucked. And then I'm like, well, yeah, he deserved what the world mind did to him, I guess, if he ate those Wanderers. And now I'm like, dude discovered his brother, and he goes halfway across the galaxy to find his brother that he didn't know he had. And the first thing his brother does is try to chomp his fucking face off.
That's that fucked, was pretty man. Fucked up.
That was really yeah. fucked up. So yeah, I'm kind of like feeling for Ego again, and now that he's, I was like really happy that he went off with like a little pudgy-faced brother orbiting him now.
It was a baby.
Yeah.
It was literally a baby face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Zephyr. Apparently Zephyr is like his tender now.
That's their nursemaid.
He needs somebody to keep him in check.
Yeah. He needs Mantis is what he needs.
Yeah, I mean, have we really talked about Ego from...
From the Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Yeah, not really, huh?
Mm-mm. I mean, it's kind of spoilery. I mean, he calls himself Ego, but if you haven't... I mean, I guess if you've read this and then you know anything about the movie, you're going to be able to put two together. But yeah, I like that... just like, I mean, it's the same kind of thing, though, in the movie, how, like, his... In the film... Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Ego's motives are beyond mortal comprehension. He's trying to do all this cosmic thing and trying to get Star-Lord to do it with him because he needs him.
Yeah, well, I mean, here it's also beyond mortal comprehension. I think the thing is that they try to get, like, philosophical with it in this a little, because it's like, what do you do if you are alone in a void versus not? But you're the same, and it's like, well, I don't really know if what you would do is find your twin, decide there can only be one of you, and then bite him in the eye. Right? Like,
yeah.
Is that actually the natural conclusion to like isolation? I don't think so.
Well, and we're told
Turns out that it is.
And we're told that the pocket universe is devoid of life, right? So I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, that there's therefore probably no other planets there. Like, then when Alter Ego gets out, doesn't he just, like, immediately start chomping on Mars or some shit, whatever's nearby? You know, like, if he's really gunning for uniqueness, like, and he believes that he is unique and he wants to remain unique, I mean, just Thor existing makes him non-unique. Like, I don't see how he still has a concept of uniqueness if he's being fed regularly the lives of other things by the Collector, and then if there's other planets in there at all, then he's not unique that he's a planet, and he's not unique that he's alive. I mean, the only uniqueness is that he's a living planet, but that doesn't seem to breed this level of insanity. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think his isolation is what made him slightly insane.
Yes, and only having the Collector around.
But then we also see Ego being slightly insane, because, okay, so I think it makes sense. He's like, oh, there's another one of me. And he's so lonely, and he goes to find his brother. But then later, like, his brother attacks him, and he just, like, loses it.
I lose it, too. It's, like, fucked up.
Well,
bit his face.
But it's more than... He loses it, and then, like, immediately switches, and he's like, oops. You know, like, there's no wind down or wind up for his emotional shifts. It's just, like, he's excited, and then he's angry, and then he feels regret. But it's like a one-panel shift, right? So I don't think ego is, like, particularly stable in the personality either.
That's true, I suppose, yeah.
Well, he kind of went crazy because he got bit in the eye.
Okay, that is fair. I'd be really mad, too.
Yeah, and I like his alter ego. I like the different way they have to fight, too. Like, alter ego literally opens his, like, half of the planet up to try and play the dude's face off. I don't think we've ever seen Ego do that. Like, we've seen Ego, like, unleash the life force blast or whatever he does. Which apparently is way more effective because he fucking obliterates alter ego in, like, one shot. But it is interesting to see the alter ego.
He wasn't hungry either.
Alter ego's just like, I'm going to chop your fucking face off.
Oh, this comic is just so fucking weird. It's so hard to, like, say anything about it.
My favorite weird moment of this is when Zephyr and Thor fucked their way out of the core of a living planet.
Yes! That happened!
Thor was like, I wonder how I'll get out of this. Maybe some dick.
The best part too is like, I remember what's important now. Come on, let's do it in the park.
Yeah. Even in the hallucination, they're just fucking in the middle of Central Park. Like, come on, bro. Yeah. That's true, I didn't even notice that part. I mean, I guess...
Wait, you didn't notice that part?
I was so caught up in the fact that the plot led to them fucking their way out of the core of the planet.
I mean, it was kind of foreshadowed.
Yeah, I didn't notice that it was in the middle of Central Park, like, even in his hallucination that it's in public.
Yeah. You didn't notice that?
No. I'm breezed right over that. Get it? Breezed?
I guess so. Yeah, I get it.
I can't make too many puns. It'll make me winded.
So,
God damn it. You're a bad person.
I got nothing on that. So, you know, that's not the only set of zany things. Like, if you think about it, the solution to the problems here... Turn out that after Thor has sex with a goddess in a living planet to get out some remnant of him remains because of, like, the planet was actually eating him, but then it became the planet's conscience, and then at some point Zephyr gets thrown through a black hole, but it's completely inconsequential and nobody cares because she just showed up 2 seconds later anyway, except, yeah. Like, better. Like, what is going on? And the best part, too, is it's not... Like, the bad what the hell is going on, like, when you're reading a completely insane Grant Morrison comic. This is just... It's zany, but in a good way, I would argue. But, I don't know, didn't the whole thing with, like, Thor being the conscience now seem so weird?
See, and I think that's the thing that also kind of made me curious about this one, is... I don't have a good, like, idea of where Thor's power level is here, because sometimes he's just, like, he's in space, and he has to throw Mjolnir so he can tag a ride on it, which I know is how he flies, right? So it's a very, like, physical level of power that he has to have to throw the hammer to get a ride on it. But then when he's trapped in the universe, he's like, oh, wait, I'm a god, I can just do the, like, the Sistine Chapel Michelangelo finger out of the dodecahedron, which will... guide me out, like, he just realizes his god powers and can slide out of the problem because he exists in all dimensions. Like, wait, like, 2 pages ago you had to, like, ride your hammer to get around. Now you can just slide between dimensions? Like, this is very wide range of power. And then I think it comes back, like, his astral presence in alter ego's mind now. Like, what?
But no, yeah. That was part of his consciousness, was absorbed by alter ego. So that little bit of Thor was inside of him.
By the way, did you catch that, like, alter ego's, like, self-ideation when he talks to Thor is as a hobo?
What do you mean?
He's like, just like, oh, he's yeah. A homeless he a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was weird, too.
Well, because his home was the dodecahedron, and now it's destroyed.
So now he's homeless in Central Park with Thor.
He will have a home, though. He'll be the next time Thor shows up in his mind, it'll be as a baby.
What?
Alter Ego will be like a little baby now. Or a little brother.
No, he doesn't show up in Thor's mind, though. Well, Thor shows up in Alter Ego's mind.
Yeah. I mean, however it happened. My words don't work tonight. It's okay. You understand.
You were totally wrong.
I know. The next time we see the vision of them in Central Park, Alter Ego will be a young boy. With a home. And a father. Who's a brother?
Slash brother.
Yeah. Older brother. We'll say that. I don't want to say father brother. That's like too hillbilly.
Yeah. No.
Sister wife?
No. God, no. That's Zephyr.
Is Zephyr a sister wife?
I mean, no. No, just sister.
I think she's more like the grandma.
Or the, not headmistress, governor. Governess.
Governess.
The governess.
She's a governess. She's their governess.
No, it's like a movie where the baby mama dropped the baby off at Ego. And so he didn't know how to take care of the baby, so he got his grandma to help or something? Right?
Yeah.
She's like, okay.
This whole thing is hashtag comics. When everyone's like, oh, comics, everybody. Like that whole meme, that's this comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're like nitpicking it a little bit because there's all these wacky things in it. But, you know, I enjoyed reading it for the most part. It didn't feel like... I think it was well-paced for what it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I breezed through it. It was a good, fun read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But was it good? I don't know.
Well, I think that depends on how you feel about camp and B-movies, because this is, like, the B-movies of comics.
Yeah. I think I was like, I don't know what to do with this, and then... Thor was fighting on the collector's ship, and he says, now watch me preen as a battle cry.
Yes,
and I was like, I know where we are. I've got a handle on this now. I know what I'm reading.
banter, so you knew it was comics because they had the banter.
But there's levels of banter. Watch me preen, motherfucker.
Well, it wouldn't make sense if he was doing like Peter Parker banter. He has to do Thor-appropriate banter. And Zephyr even calls him out on it. She's like, yeah. I can't believe we used to talk like that.
Or, apparently no, he still does. I guess it works for him.
Yeah.
And I like that, too. I like the idea that he is, like, that he's old school like that. And that everybody used to talk like that. And he's just, like, keeping the candle alive. Him and the other Asgardians. Well, not even all the Asgardians do it.
I think they mostly do.
Most of them, right? But not all of them. Loki doesn't.
Well, Loki's different.
Yeah.
It's like, it's Thor's version of wearing sunglasses indoors. It's his affectation. So, do you want to talk about the art? Because the art in this comic does not match the tone, and it is wonderful.
Well, Thor, like, ages... Like, he's a different age in every panel.
Yeah.
Sometimes he looks like a child. Then Thor, in the past, looks like a lumberjack or something. But then Thor, in the present, looks like a child. It was all over the place, is what I'm trying to say. Oh, okay. I think the art was good, except for Thor. Thor's face, in particular, because it was just different in, like, every panel, and it was a little bit distracting to me. But I thought that the rest of the art was good. Everybody else had a consistent look. And Alter Ego looked pretty terrifying most of the time.
Hold on, I just noticed somebody changed the name of the arc in the notes to Stroke an Ego's Ego.
I did that last week.
Did you? I just noticed. That's fantastic. you talk about I was iffy on this art style for like what you're saying. It feels weird seeing Thor in this kind of like I want to say rounded art style. It's like a rounded kind of paint. I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like, there's almost like a glossiness to it. Even though I'm reading it digitally, it feels like it would be printed glossy. And I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. But what does really, really work is the foreignness and the grotesqueness of Alter Ego and Ego. Especially Alter Ego's mouth just feels grotesque in a way that I think it really, really should. When it forms around Zephyr and Thor and eats them, it feels weird and foreign and strange. And when he's chomping on Ego's face, I mean, it's a big splash page, but it's really, really memorable because I think it's executed really, really well. So this art works fantastically for that. And I think, I mean, you have to have an artist. You have to pick an artist that's going to do those pages, because those pages, regardless of how this is written, that's going to stand out. When you have a planet chomping on another planet's face, that's the page that matters. If it's a 5-issue run, that's the spread that matters. So you pick the artist for that. And I think this was a good choice for that. Mike Choi did a good, really good job on those pages. But yeah, there's questionableness in other places too.
Well, it's kind of this like very, it's less comic style. It's more realistic, heavy on the pencil work, not so much like, there's a lot of lines, but there's no heavy lines. So I think a lot of the time when we see this kind of art in comics, we get like, and I'm saying this in air quotes, but no one can see, you know, real art for real stories, for serious comics, you know. This is serious art, and this is not a serious story, and I think that makes the tone really weird between the art and the storyline, but I think it works really well, too, because, I don't know, you see these kind of, like, epic scenes of Thor and Zephyr kissing, or Thor doing stuff, and he's drawn very heroically. It's like you could imagine this art being put in some fancy hardcover collected graphic novel edition that's like special run by special artists. But then it's about planets like eating each other, like in a literal sense, with their mouths and their goatees. So I think it's kind of that like dissonance that you get between the two. Because we're so, at least for me, I am so used to seeing this art style with like the serious comics, and this is not serious.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, because I mean this in a good way. This kind of feels like Alex Ross light. Yeah, and Alex Ross sometimes it's, I mean that in a good way, because sometimes it's way, it feels too much. Too much color, too much overdone, overdrawn. It can feel out of place sometimes. It's gorgeous, but sometimes it feels a little out of place. And this feels like that, kind of toned back a little bit. And that might be some of the discongruity. I think you nailed it on the head. Good job being articulate even though you're exhausted.
Woo!
Did you guys have a favorite moment in this other than Alter Ego eating Ego's face?
No.
Yeah, that's it.
No. Okay, I'll say when they're hallucinating in Alter Ego's core and Thor is talking about like being on his cell phone and like shit, and he's just not doing the doth and thou, and you know, he's just talking normal, but the font is still Asgardian. I was like really trying in my head to imagine what that sounds like. Like Chris, it reminds me of Chris Hemsworth's, I don't know if you guys have seen the little YouTube series of Thor getting a roommate in Australia.
Yes, those are excellent.
They're fantastic, and it reminds me of that, but even like more just like everyday mundane shit. And I was like, oh yeah, this is kind of awesome. I want to hear it narrated. Because you never see him just like Thor hanging out on his cell phone, chilling at the park with a glass of wine. It does not feel very Thor. So yeah, that was mine.
Okay, so if I had a real favorite moment that's not him... Oh, you know that panel where they like realize they're about to be eaten and they're like, oh crap, we're standing on his tongue?
Yes.
That part was pretty messed up.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a cool picture. You know, it was well done.
Yeah, Zephyr's cool talking. He's just Zephyr, 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 and she's like, "What, bro?" And then she turns around. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you got one, Jen? Or are you still just?
It's just the planets eating each other. Like, there's nothing better in life.
All right.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of the scenes with Alter Ego, like, he's just so wackily emotive. Is that even a word? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is.
He's, like, so over the top in the best way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel like the panels where we get to see him, like, pissed off and stuff really kind of, like, stole the show for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you talk about him being wacky and emotive. That kind of, I think, will segue a little bit into our... where do you guys land on Ego as a character? Like, he's not mustache twirly. I appreciate that he seems to have his own motives and his own things that he wants to do. Kind of looking back on the last three episodes that we've done. But I don't see him as being more than, like, a joke character? I don't know. Not joke, but, like, just pulled out for the lulz every once in a while.
Well, I mean, yeah, I can see how, like, in the, you know, in the 60s when Jack Kirby and Stan Lee came up with him, like, they thought, oh, this guy could be pretty neat. But I think nowadays, like, he's just too coconuts to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, think about when we read Nova last week, right? What was your reaction when, like, it turned out to be Ego and he was wearing, like, the little Nova core helmet thing? Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like you're right. You just cannot take him seriously.
And I think it's unfortunate because he's a character that obviously has some merit, because I Ego's portrayal in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie is fan-fucking-tastic. I mean, not just the casting, but the way he's portrayed with, like, an avatar that he has to come back to the planet. I mean, they kind of changed the rules a bit about what Ego was to make it work.
Right.
But they made him a very compelling villain, especially at the end when he was outed as being the planet. And what that means, and being Ego, and when he starts to actually be Ego as we know Ego, it's still compelling and dangerous and doesn't feel out of place, but that's also in Guardians of the Galaxy where you have a talking raccoon and a toddler tree, and, you know, there's a certain level of sci-fi that you can only do in Guardians of the Galaxy that makes Ego feel more tangible than he would in other Marvel properties. I don't know. I don't know what about him in the comics necessarily makes him have to be wacky, whereas in the movie we're able to take him seriously as a really compelling villain too.
Well, I think the difference is in Guardians of the in the comics he's Ego the Living Planet, but in Guardians of the Galaxy he's not Ego the Living Planet. Like, his thing isn't being a living planet.
Yeah.
Whereas in the comics, like, he's literally a planet with a giant face on it. And that's not easy to take seriously. I mean, remember there's, like, that old French film, like, where they go to the moon and the rocket gets lodged in the moon's eye?
Yeah.
That's Ego. He's the moon from that movie.
Yeah, I mean the direct comparison is Mogo, but Mogo doesn't have this level of ridiculousness. Mogo,
he doesn't have a face.
He doesn't have a face. He has the Green Lantern, like, symbol on him, but he's grown it out of trees himself.
Mm-hmm.
And his way of communication is, I think the other thing that doesn't help Mogo is that he literally talks, right? So, like, he has to shift. I suppose in the context of this world, if you think about how it works, he's moving continents and soil on his face. And building a voice box or something, like, he's doing something to be able to make him produce speech as a planet, which is weird. And I think Mogo gets around that by being more sci-fi. I'm thinking of arcs where, like, Kilowog takes his family on a vacation on Mogo, and like they lanterns go there to meditate because Mogo kind of talks through, like, magnetic good vibes. I don't know how to describe it. Like, he kind of emits psychic waves to, as a form of communication, which is also fucking ridiculous, but is that extra level of sci-fi, that extra level of distance from what we perceive as being anthropomorphic, that it keeps the same distance as everything else in the sci-fi universe. But Ego, because he's so anthropomorphized, just feels ridiculous. I mean, it's like, you can only take Cosmo the dog so seriously because it's a dog with an astronaut suit. You know, and like, you anthropomorphize things enough and it becomes a joke. And I really do think that's what it is. Not just the face, but that he talks like a thing talks, and, you know.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah.
And he lights his ass on fire with a bunch of volcanoes to move around.
He doesn't have an ass, though, Andy. That's more like the back of his head.
I mean, he could make it an ass if he wanted to.
Yes, he could have. But see, that's
but
the problem.
He didn't.
I think that's part of the problem, too, is that you can easily imagine him shaping an ass on the back of the planet.
Yeah, that is true. Ass.
Like, I don't think Mogo could make an ass. Like, he could probably make mountains or hills that looked like an ass. But on Mogo, it would literally be an ass.
See, but also, yeah, Mogo has the ring, so Mogo could make anything with the ring. But without the ring, I don't think Mogo could. I think he's just a sentient planet. See, I think that's different between sentient and living. The idea of living implies not just that you're aware, but that you have agency. And I think Mogo has very limited agency compared to Ego as well. Like, Ego can do all of these things that, mm-hmm. that also, like, anthropomorphize them, I guess. I don't know. I'm sad. I wish I could see Ego. I can imagine a story where Ego is cool. I just don't think I can read it.
Well, give us the pitch where he's cool.
Oh, man, I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, I thought you. I misunderstood and thought that's what you.
No,
meant.
No. Like I give me enough time. I could come up with something. I think. I don't know, but I don't have it right now.
One of the things is that he's mobile, and it's just so ridiculous that this planet, like an actual planet, not a moon, not a planetoid, but a planet, would be just flying around the galaxy. There's something about that that just breaks the suspension of disbelief, and I don't know why, because there's also thunder gods and stuff here, but the fact that he, like, can travel makes it seem extra dumb.
See, I would want to make him more nefarious, but in a way that's more subtle. Like, make him go around and impersonate other planets. Like, have him, like, I don't know what the Shi'ar homeworld is. But, like, have him go and impersonate the homeworld and see if he can trap people. Like, put him in orbit on the opposite side of the sun.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he could, like, that's the other thing, he's not subtle at all. He just shows up with a giant fuck-damn goatee and breathes fire on things and expects to have shit happen for him. Like, you're a planet. You could, like, pretend to be a planet and catch things that way. Like, don't be, you know, don't try to be the tiger, be the whale. Like, just, you know, troll for plankton and you'll be fine. You don't have to go out and, like, hunt things with your face.
That's actually, like, a really good point. Like, if you think about bad sci-fi and bad fantasy, the downfall is often, like, okay, someone gets, like, interesting powers and then they just act like a normal frickin' person in every situation, and you're like, why don't you experiment with your powers and figure out what you can and can't do instead of just, like, bumbling around? And here, this is the thing, like, Ego has the powers of a sentient planet. He has, like, the ability to move around, the energy beam, he can transform himself, but he acts like a person, not like a sentient creature that has these powers and knows how to use them. And it's just too much to believe that a planet that's sentient, that has existed for, like, however many billions of years, would act like, I don't know, like some average Joe Schmo in America might act in a given situation.
Yeah. He's being less cosmic, and he's being more like the Shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm trying to, like, think of decent ego stories. I don't know. You guys want to rate this?
Sure.
All right.
So what I want to start doing, because sometimes we can get a little bit rough in our ratings, and, you know, we recently I noticed that we got retweeted by Rene DeLiz for Legend of Wonder Woman, which is something that I remember fondly, but having re-listened to the episode, we kind of, you know, nitpick here and there, which is what we do. I mean, we love comics, and if we nitpick, it's because we can't find anything better. But I realize in this conversation, we critique and we discuss, but we don't actually think. So what I want to do now before we rate anything is I want to thank Robert Rohde for writing it, Mike Choi for doing the pencils, Frank DiArmada for the colors, and Joe Caramagna for the letters, because regardless of what we rate this or what we think of it, like, we wouldn't have it to even discuss if they hadn't made it. And it's definitely worth thanking people for having the drive to create and having the means to do so and putting it out there in the world. And they've done that, and they deserve thanks for that before you do any rating. So thank you guys. Yeah, all guys. Yeah, thank you guys. Jen, you want to go first?
Sure. I was thoroughly entertained by this really goofy comic. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I think that this is the kind of thing that you pick up and read, you know, pretty quickly if you just want to have fun. The story is goofy. The art is goofy in a way where it doesn't match the story, but in, like, a really good way. And it's, like, I think this is a really memorable comic. It has some moments in it that are just so absurd that I'm not going to forget them. Like, into my old age, I will be, like, 90, sitting on a rocking chair and be like, remember that time Ego and Alter Ego fought? Like, it's that memorable. I think that, I don't know, like, I don't think this comic suffered from anything in particular. It was just really goofy. And if you don't like goofy stuff, this is not the comic for you. But if you like really absurd things, then this is great. So, it's not, like, going down in my hall of fame of best comics ever, but it was fun. So, 3.5.
All right, I'm going to go next. I'm going to give this a 3, because I feel like it was pretty average. I mean, you could give or take it. It was a fun read. It didn't slow me down. You know, I enjoyed it, and I rolled right through, and it was a nice, fun, quick read, and I don't regret having read it. But I'm going to bump it up to a 3, because, you know, Ego, there's probably a story where Ego can be taken seriously and is a hardcore villain. But for what he is, this is perfect because I don't remember the last time I had a good bull laugh, like bull roar laugh that I was when I turned the page and saw Alter Ego munching on Ego's face. I laughed out loud when I got to that page. And I haven't had such a satisfying hearty laugh from a comic like that in a long time. Just because it's fucking ridiculous and only in comics that you get something like that. And I mean, if you're gonna do it, go for it, guys. Do it. And they did. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a 3, just if for nothing else for that. Just own it and go with it. Regardless of like whether this was a gripping intellectual piece of masterwork, that was good. So yeah, 3. David?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a 3.5 also. You know, despite the nitpicks and stuff we had, I really did enjoy reading it, and I think I read through it so quickly because I wanted to know what was going to happen next. And if you think about the things we nitpicked, it was, I don't know so much if it was nitpicking, but we had a lot of fun talking about this comic, that's I true. Think. And I think that goes a long way to speaking of the quality of a comic. Even though there was some really wacky stuff and things that didn't make a lot of sense for one reason or another, you know, I don't regret reading it. I really enjoyed it. And like Jen said, it's pretty memorable. Like, I wasn't sure if I had read this comic before, but then as soon as it kind of got rolling, I was like, oh man, I remember exactly where this is going. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it even the second time around. So, I definitely, it's not perfect, but it was a lot of fun. And I think that is, that's really important. So, yeah. 3.5.
All right. Well, that concludes our Stroke and Ego's Ego series. and this was episode 299, which you would think next week then we would have a fantastic episode 300 extravaganza whatever thing. But you'd be wrong, because I recently went back and revamped our archive page to streamline it and get rid of a bunch of HTML junk. And I've realized that we never recorded episode 134 for some reason. We just skipped right over it in the numbering. So this is not actually episode 299. This is actually 298. So next week we're going to go back and we're going to record episode 134. But we don't have a comic to talk about. And frankly, this is our 300-ish episodes and I want a break. So we're going to do a listener request. One of our longtime fans of the show made a joke that we should review the top five butts in comics. So I don't know if that's what we're really going to do, but that's what I'm going to throw out there. Next week we'll talk about the best butts in comics, I suppose.
I can't believe we're doing this.
Yes, we're going to do it. Because one of them's going to be Mogo, and one of them's going to be Ego. And I know who's picking both of those. So I don't know if we'll just have a roundtable discussion of butts, or if we'll do, he suggested, a draft of butts. But yeah, that'll be next week. And we'll have some ground rules, like, no picking Mystique, saying that, she can be whatever butt you want her to be. Because if you say Mystique, you're picking Mystique's, scaly blue butt, not, the butt of 100 other people. So yeah, we'll have some ground rules. But yeah, that'll be 134. And then after that, we'll do our episode 300 by reading 300. I've never read through. Have either one of you read 300, the Frank Miller 300?
No.
And this,
I really haven't.
This comes on the tail of the news that Marvel bought the Millerverse comics. So 300 is now, or not Marvel, I'm sorry, Netflix. Netflix bought the 300 Millerverse, the rights for it. So I guess Netflix could make stuff in the 300 universe, but I think they're more thinking like Kick-Ass and all that kind of stuff and Hit Girl. I think that's more what Netflix is looking at. But yeah, we'll do 300 for episode 300, and then after that we have Podcaster's Choice, where we're just going to pick some shit we want to read. Not on the theme, not anything crazy. And we'll let you know what those are next week. But yeah, that's it for this week. If you like the show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. If you support us for at least a penny a month, you get access to bonus content. You get a free episode in your inbox. Well, I guess not free if you have to pay for it. You get an episode in your inbox of stuff that we talk about before and after the show that gets cut. Because I try to streamline this a little bit, so we have a little bit of banter back and forth before the recording starts, and that'll go into that bonus content. You can also go to welcometocomics.com and listen to any of our previous 298 episodes. They're all there on that recently streamlined archive page. There's not little thumbnails anymore, but it should load so much faster and look way better in mobile. So do that. Welcometocomics.com. We have our past shows on there. We have our future stuff on there. And there's all the social media stuff. We're on Facebook and Twitter.com/welcome. I guess it's at Welcome to Comics. You can follow me at Jolly Andy. I'm going to try to start using that more. I've realized I'm on like 4 podcasts. So I'm going to start marketing myself, which feels weird to do. And like oddly egotistical. Egotistical. But yeah, I'm going to go for it. So follow me at Jolly Andy. But yeah, that's it for this week. Until next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And I think we lost Jen and during.
Yeah, I know. I was outro. Waiting for Jen to go, and then I was like, "Oh."
Oh shit! I've been muted. Goodbye.